welcome to Inside the Press Box, the podcast where we dive into the captivating world of sporting journalism. I'm Josh Walters.
And I'm Jack O'Neill. Each week we'll bring you insider perspectives for the most engaged journalists within the UK.
So if you're ready to go beyond the score lines and explore the fascinating world of sport journalism, join us in the exciting journey and get ready to stop Inside the Press Box. My name is Josh Walters, Hallam sport journalism student. More interested in going into writing rather than anything else, but dabbled in a bit of commentary in the past with Scott himself. Pretty open to many things, but just kind of see where the whole thing takes us. So, no front, Ollie.
I'm Ollie Gray. I'm also doing sports journalism. I'm more interested in creating, filming, more packages, creating packages, presenting. That's my sort of bag. And
I'm Jack O'Neill. The same course. I probably agree with Ollie. Probably more interested in the presenting side, commentary, and then the practical side of journalism, really.
So, Scott, obviously, we've worked together before, doing the commentary for the Hallam Varsity 2s. What made you want to go into, like, commentary and that type of stuff as a start? Because if I'm correct in saying you didn't actually start off with commentary.
Yeah, so I started really as written journalism. So I've always been a keen writer ever since I was younger, much better with words than numbers, even though ironically now I'm a primary school teacher, so I have to do both. And numbers is always something that still throws me to an extent, but yeah, much more comfortable with words. So I started writing for a website called Pro Hockey News. So I saw an advert for them online looking for writers, and I thought, you know what, I love ice hockey, I'm a keen writer, why not combine both? So I sent them a match report, what I did from a Steelers game. So I've been a Sheffield Steelers fan since 1993 when I was 6 years old, and I've had a season ticket pretty much from being about 8 years old, really, all the way through to now when I'm an old man at 36. I'll be 37 this year. And yeah, essentially started writing. And then as I got to know people at the games, a guy who sat a couple of seats away from me was involved with hospital radio. And he was more on the technical side of things, doing producing. And he came up to me one game and he said, "Scott, you know hockey and you talk a lot. Why don't you get into commentary?" And I thought, you know what, that's not a bad idea. So it was a radio station called Radio Nightingale based in Rotherham Hospital. And I started commentating on Sheffield Steelers games in 2007. And I worked with the Steelers doing media stuff. So doing match night program articles, interviewing players. And I got involved with the webcast for a couple of seasons, what the Steelers produce. And also a TV channel on Sky, which was then called Premier Sports, and it's now called Viaplay. So I did ringside reporting for them for, I think, 3 or 4 games at the Sheffield Steelers. So it's kind of taken me all directions, most recently photography as well. So I've kind of dabbled in all areas of media to an extent. Commentary, very enjoyable, hard work. You know, it's something what I found exhausting, because you're having to concentrate so much on the game, and it's hard to switch off from it. The writing, you know, I find that quite a cathartic sort of relaxing process, which I really enjoy. And the TV stuff, that was pretty stressful when you see that red light there and pointing at your face, and you know you're live, and you're like, wow, okay, I can't mess this up. So all very different, but all very enjoyable at the same time as well.
Yeah, because I guess with going in different types of, like, the media, there's a lot of different environments, a lot of different vibes from all different aspects. Because obviously, some being more stressful, some being less calm, and then you can kind of take your time with it.
Yeah, so. It's certainly something what, like you say, is very different each one. with the TV, you know, it's very technical and lots of things going on behind the scenes, which I don't really know much about. So I just kind of got told where to stand and where to and when to say things at the right time. The writing, you know, that's where you can kind of put your own creative stamp on things. Obviously, you know, being able to write, I guess, grammatically and plausibly is, you know, important in terms of and factually correct as well, you know, name checking and making sure you're spelling players' names correctly. Pretty simple stuff, but I guess as you become more experienced, you hone those skills more. And yeah, the radio, that was good because I've joking, I always say I've got a face for radio, so for me it's better sometimes to not be on camera. But yeah, that's different as well. And you know, because I'm quite a talker, as you can probably gather already. So I thought, why not put those skills to use? And yeah, but it's like something like I say, I enjoy all three different types of media that I've done, and I wouldn't say I prefer one over the other. You know, they're all very different and something that I've enjoyed. And yeah.
So obviously it's very interesting, like how you seem to come about into, obviously, like you say, being a primary school teacher and going into journalism and different forms. How have you found the transition? Because obviously you say that you're a fan of Steelers anyway. How did you find the transition of just obviously being a fan in the stands to having to sort of take on a lot more when you go to a when you go to a game and obviously pay a lot more attention to what's happening around you, so that you have to sort of make note of everything and put it into your work.
Yeah, I think initially it was quite tricky because you have to kind of take the fan glasses off. You have to take the Steelers ice hockey tinted specs off, so to speak. So you have to kind of see it more as a neutral and watch the game impartially, really, without putting too much bias and things in your writing. So initially that bit was tricky. I had to learn how to, I guess, write a little bit more professionally and you know, straight through the middle and without having a bias towards the Steelers, because I wanted to be impartial. I didn't want fans of other teams to sort of criticize and say, oh yeah, we can tell you're a Steelers fan. Or so I think that was tricky initially. And obviously, like you say, you have to pay a bit more attention and watch it in more detail. I think because I've played the sport for a number of years now, about 20 years, I think that helps obviously understand some of the intricacies of the sport as well. So when it comes to the terminology of it and things, I'm kind of already, I guess, up on stuff like that already, which helps. But yeah, it was tricky, and I found that, I guess, towards the end. So I did about 10 years, like I say, with the Steelers in various guises. And for me, towards the end, it become a little bit of a chore, really. Particularly as I progressed in teaching up through senior leadership and juggling, you know, the media work and the teaching commitments became a little bit too much. And so I kind of then decided to put the media stuff on the back burner because I wasn't getting paid much for most of it, to be fair. A lot of it was voluntary with the Steelers. The other bits and bobs I do, you know, through the newspapers and things, that was, you know, some paid work there. But I thought I need to prioritize the paid stuff, and that's when I kind of came to the decision to, I guess, go back to be a regular fan. And sometimes I do miss it. I miss, I guess, being on the inside a little bit more and kind of being in and around the you know, the players and getting that insight. But at the same time, sometimes I prefer just being sat in the stands and having a pint in my hand and without the pressure of, you know, being able to sort of concentrate so much and watch it. So yeah, so it's very different coming out of it, going into it and coming out of it as well, you know, a tricky transition on both sides, really.
Ollie, have you got a question?
Yeah, well, obviously, like you've said, you've had a lot of different jobs in the industry, and even not even in just sports industry. You've had your fingers in many pies, and you know, you've been around the block. The pay or anything. I want to know, what was the one job where you found the most useful skills to kind of unlock doors? Because a lot of the time when you're thinking about being a sports journalist, it's more right, I want to write or I want to, you know, create or present. But it's the small, it's the little jobs in between where you learn quite a bit. I want to know which job you found really, like, not just opened the doors, but really, like, gave you the most experience to get on and keep going.
I'd probably say the writing, really, because when I went into the radio stuff, that was, you know, really early on, I guess, in my, I guess, career, really. So that was about 2006, 2007-ish when I started doing the commentating on the radio. And back then, I think I was still quite naive within the industry. You know, I knew the sport well, but I don't think I gained as much from that as I probably should have done and understood at the time. And I just kind of rocked up to the games. I mean, I did my research, obviously, on the teams before and produced a bit of a fact sheet based on, you know, what I could gather on the internet. But I guess knowing what I know now, I probably would have done things, you know, differently in terms of the commentating. Same with the TV stuff, you know, that was... You know, it wasn't that much experience. I think I did 3 or 4 games for the Premier Sports TV program on Sky. But obviously I've done the varsity stuff since. And with that, you do research again a little bit, but you kind of just, I guess, observing on what you're seeing during the game. So it's very in the moment. So I think for me, the most I've got from it is probably the writing, because that's something I still do now daily. So I write for different publications. So I write for the Yorkshire Post newspaper. I do music reviews, and that goes hand in hand with the photography. So I work with a lot of artists, photographing artists, so a lot of local artists in Sheffield, such as Reverend and the Makers, Little Man Tate, but then I work with bigger artists too, such as Tom Grennan, Kasabian, Madness. I'd photographed Tramlines Festival, Why Not Festival. And yeah, I've sort of photographed Callum Scott, Ed Sheeran. So it's really kind of snowballed. And the writing goes hand in hand for me with the photography. And I think it's, you know, a skill what is important, because obviously writing is storytelling and photography is storytelling too, but visually. So being able to combine both is amazing. And that's kind of led on to some of the work that I do with Nikon, the camera brand. I write for their website. So I write how-to guides on how to photograph. And now I, you know, for the main thing I photograph weddings. So that's visual storytelling in itself, albeit with a lot of pressure because you've got someone's special day. So for me, definitely the writing, because I still continue to do that to this day. I still enjoy writing. It's something I love to do, because you can kind of put more of a creative stamp on it, and you can go into different avenues with that, whether it's fiction, non-fiction, and in your case, obviously, you know, factual-based reporting, journalism. So for me, that skill has really helped me. And I think ultimately at heart, what's helped the most with that, so going back a little bit, and, you know, this is the primary school teacher in me, I read a lot as a child, and being a keen reader helped me become a good writer, because it develops your vocabulary so much. So, you know, I always encourage children who I teach every day, you know, read a lot, because readers become good writers, and it's so true. But obviously, yeah, so now it's kind of gone in different avenues with the writing. And but yeah, I think I gained the most really from the writing side of things.
So obviously, to get more bit of an introduction to your process of getting into journalism, if I'm correct in saying you were a personal trainer before you got into journalism and photography and all that jazz, what made you go from that switch in industry? Because it's, in my opinion, it's quite obviously far from each other.
Yeah. So, cut long story short, my undergrad degree was in nutrition. So that was at Sheffield Helm University. So, yeah, I went into nutrition. I wanted to be a physio. However, you know, it was so incredibly competitive to get onto those courses, and the courses really were oversubscribed for physio. So I went into nutrition, and I guess a byproduct of nutrition, you know, there's some exercising elements of it. with the sports and exercise type modules. So I just thought, you know what, I'm keen into my fitness, or I was back then, not so much now. So I then went into the personal training side of things. So that was more to go alongside the nutrition, really. So then worked in the NHS as a health trainer, before kind of then deciding to go into teaching because it was just a more secure profession, in terms of progression is so much better, particularly for males in primary as well. So I kind of went through the ranks of teaching fairly quickly, and I'm now 10 years into teaching. It's something I still love. It's certainly got its challenges, but yeah, the journalism, I guess, has always been more of a air quote side hustle for me, really, rather than my career. And yeah, so, but it's something I'm looking at combining, funnily enough, with teaching. And in the future, I'm hoping to run workshops in schools, basically teaching children how to use cameras. And yeah, running photography-based workshops, which I think has got lots of potential. But I just need to have a really good think about it and sit down. And my wife will probably tell me, you need to think about pensions and security and all those sort of adulting type things. So yeah, I've got a few decisions, I guess, to make in the future, and who knows what will happen and where things will go.
Nice.
Was just build up on that. Obviously, introducing journalism into your current teaching and can obviously help out because obviously in school you don't really have. I know when I was at school, you don't have workshops or classes like that. What can introduce people into like a media type of thing? So I think that would help bring. More people towards media journalism or journalism in general for the future.
Yeah, I think so. And not all children are academically, gifted as well. And we've got children now who are much more creative. And I mean, I remember asking children at school, a few years ago, what do you want to be? And like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber, or I want to be, like Mr. Beast, or something like that. So if children have got an interest, I guess, in media, then me as a teacher, I want to kind of unlock that potential within them, but show them things other than YouTube and other than a, an iPad or a camera phone. Why not look at, I guess, the, air quotes, proper equipment and use a camera. And there's so many transferable skills. You've got the scientific, basis of cameras and how they work. You've got getting them out in nature as well, that's important. Immersing them outside and say, look, why not photograph wildlife or landscapes, and teach them about the outdoors and how to respect, I guess, animals and things when you're photographing them. So there's lots of different ways I can go with it. And but like you say, I don't think there's enough opportunities in school because there's so much emphasis on reading, writing, and maths that often those creative areas get pushed to one side, really, which is no, it's a shame because, like I said, not all children are, academically sort of minded. And I know myself, I'm fortunate to, be fairly good academically, but I've always had that creative side, but I never really nurtured it now until adulthood, which is a shame.
I guess as well, because I had a little bit of a look through your website, and some of the pictures that I see and some of the information I got was that you've done a lot of traveling and photographing like loads of different stuff. If I'm correct in saying you've done stuff like photograph the Grand Canyon, nature such as grizzly bears, was it in Canada?
Yeah, so I photographed Grand Canyon. So that was more when I worked at Camp America. So I worked at a kids' summer camp. So that was only really, I guess, amateur photography on my phone. I'd not done grizzly bears. That'd be something I'd love to do. That's definitely on the bucket list. But yeah, I've done quite a bit of travel and combined that with photography. So I recently won an award through a magazine called Wanderlust. So I've been named their travel photographer of the year, which was amazing. So there were over 8,000 people entered, and not, never in a million years did I think I'd win. My picture was took in the Peak District against all these pictures from around the world, Taj Mahal, Great Wall of China, and iconic landscapes, and mine was taken 10 minutes from my front door. So to win that, and then have the opportunity to go to Singapore to work with the tourism board and photograph the likes of Ed Sheeran and stuff like that were just a dream come true, really. It's, snowballed really well. And for me, I put it down to my work ethic. I'm very determined and driven, and I want to be good at everything I do. And I think sometimes that's my best and my worst skill is being a perfectionist.
Well, it must mean, like, if you're winning such awards, because you've been published a few times, haven't you, as well? When
Yeah.
you're doing that type of stuff as well, you're getting the recognition. It must be doing something right somewhere, because I guarantee, like you said, then obviously if you put the hard work in, and obviously with well, I guess unfortunately in journalism, it's not something you can just go into. It's a progressive way. You've got to volunteer. You've got to do free work, like you said, at the Steelers. And unfortunately, you don't get paid a lot of the time, but I guess it's prioritizing what you got to do to get into the industry, and I guess all that jazz. But with all that considered, what would you say is like the bad side of all that, in terms of getting into the industry?
I guess sometimes it's just getting your foot in the door and knowing the right people. And I think some people expect it to come to them, but you've kind of got to put yourself out there a bit. I think networking is so important, and whether that's online with the likes of LinkedIn, but I think in person, I've always preferred meeting people face to face. And I think COVID's obviously changed the way a lot of people interact with people. A lot of it's online, which is, definitely a hindrance, but at the time, obviously it was unavoidable. But for me, getting out there, meeting people, not being afraid to send people messages and say, hey, really love this particular sport. Would I be able to come and shadow? Would I be able to come and take some pictures for you for free? And just putting yourself out there really is so important, because I speak to a lot of people, photographers who expect the work to come to them, but you've got to put in the hard yards to begin with for it to then pave the way to the stuff you want to do. And not being afraid to do something or photograph a particular area or write about an area you're not as bothered about initially, because then that experience and that portfolio can then take you down into the areas you actually want to do. So I think that's, an important part as well.
Stuff like working in groups can obviously be difficult. Have you ever found any experiences during any work that you've just been like, oh, I don't like working with them? Like, has there been any specific reasons where they just make the job difficult or?
I guess with journalism and with working in that industry, there's always going to be people who have different opinions. I think with any walk of life, really. And I know when I did the varsity commentary in previous years for the ice hockey in Sheffield, working there with, I guess, people who aren't as experienced and on the same page, you kind of have to guide them a little bit more, and give them a bit more advice beforehand. And so I think you kind of make the best of the situation, and it's in your control anyway. And I think sometimes you just kind of have to take that onus and sort of think, you know what, I want to make a success of this, right? How can I do that? Okay, we're gonna have to think a certain way or change our sort of mindset to make it work. So I think in any walk of life, in any job, that you're always going to have people who you don't get on as well with, whether that's leadership, whether that's in education, for example. I know I've worked in some schools where I've not quite had the same ethos, or share the same ethos as them, because some schools make it more about data and less about the children. So you kind of quickly work out what area you want to go in, and I think that applies to journalism as well. And whether it's printed media or a different type of media, you'll soon find your niche and your area that you enjoy. And I think that then comes across in your work. The more you enjoy something, the byproduct of it will be better, because you kind of put your all into it a bit more. So I think it's just a case of, finding that area you enjoy, and kind of persevering with it, and hopefully things will work out.
Yeah. Well, obviously with that side of things, like you said, you're always gonna get people that kind of make stuff difficult. with obviously the polar opposite, like, has there ever been situations where people have gone or the extra mile to not necessarily help you, but kind of guide you when you first got into the industry, like a bit like a mentor? Have you ever had anything like that? Or
Yeah, there's a guy, funnily enough, he's a lecturer at university in London. So he's an old commentator called Bob Ballard, and he's commentated on the Olympics, and he's a lecturer in sports journalism, I think UCB in London. So they're based at Wembley. And he's a good friend. He's an amazing journalist. He commentates on the Olympics. He's done commentating on diving and various sort of aquatic sports. He's also commentated on the ice hockey. But he started at Radio Sheffield and kind of rose up the ranks there. And he was brilliant. And he still is. He's a mentor of mine to this day. I send him articles if I want his opinion on things. If I'm entering like a writing competition or something like that, I'll message Bob and I'll say, "Oh, Bob, what do you think to this?" And he's given me so much advice and encouragement over the years. And I think having people in your corner who you kind of align with, who you get on well with, but who will also keep you accountable and be honest with you and say, "Look, Scott, I like your idea. However, I think you should change this and change this." And someone who's going to be honest, because you need that feedback, you need that constructive criticism, as we like to call it. Same with the photography. I remember the wedding photographer my wife and I had. He's since become a bit of a source of advice since I've gone into that field. And I think to be the best, you have to learn from the best. And for me, I'm not afraid of messaging people and asking for advice. I mean, the worst they can do is ignore you or say, "Oh, sorry, I've not got time," then fair enough. But if you don't try, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I think not being afraid to, knock on doors and pick up the phone to people and say, "Oh, have you got 5 minutes for a chat? I really love your work and it'd be great if I can pick your brains about it." And most people do so. And when people do that with me, I'm more than happy to give my advice and my sort of guidance if I can, because I was at that stage, once upon a time as well. So yeah, I think having those mentors are really important, but a particular one who stood out is, like I say, a chap called Bob Ballard, who is a lecturer in sports journalism now, but has done so much for the likes of the BBC and for the Olympics as well. So yeah, I think it's just important to align yourself with good people, positive people, but at the same time, someone who's going to keep you accountable and be honest with you and give you good constructive feedback.
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting. And obviously, you said in like say some instances, people don't go that extra mile and don't message and try to put themselves out there. Because I've definitely had a few experiences already where you try working, not necessarily a group or even just like a pair or something like that. You go out and do even like the most basics of stuff like camera work or stuff like that, and they are like they've panned it on to me, being like, "Oh yeah, you can do this." And it's just like, just because like you're a little bit uncomfortable doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. If anything, in journalism, that's the one thing you need to be like, not necessarily comfortable with, but able to go and do, go out your comfort and message people, go up to people and be like, "Oh, can I just interview? Can I ask this? Can I ask that?" It can obviously be quite annoying, especially when you're doing a lot of the work yourself. But I guess you do get that in a lot of, well, pretty much everywhere, every area of life, I guess. Some people just aren't willing to do that. But yeah, I guess with journalism, it's one thing that you do need to, I guess, succeed, and you've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, 100%. I truly believe, you only get out what you put in. So if you're willing to put in the hard work and the hard yards, then you'll get rewarded. And I truly believe that that's kind of what stood me in good stead is that work ethic, that desire to do well, but also that willingness to accept, advice and feedback what you might not necessarily agree with initially. And I think, particularly new in the industry, you're so keen to please and do well that when you do get a bit of advice, what might be, perceived as slightly negative or critical of your work, I think in the past, I've took it personally. But then I think with time, you learn to sort of think, you know what, actually, this is going to help me. It's going to help me develop And I remember someone saying to me, I joined a photography club, fairly into my photography journey, when I was still, getting to grips with a camera. And I remember someone saying to me, oh, you should just concentrate on one area of photography and try and do it well, not, do lots of different areas. But I kind of went against that and I said, look, if you enjoy different areas of photography, why not sort of, do all those areas of photography? And I truly believe that by me having experience and photographing landscapes, wildlife, music, weddings, astrophotography, sports, all the areas I've photographed has helped me become a more accomplished photographer, rather than have got pigeonholed and got stuck into one particular area. Because you don't see things holistically, you don't see things with a bit more of a, I guess, a landscape eye. So for me, with weddings, I take into account the light and all the things that I've learned from landscape photography and put that into my wedding photography. So I think sometimes listening to voices, but figuring out who's actually there to help you and be supportive, but who's there to kind of diminish and knock your confidence, because there are a lot of people out there who will try and knock your confidence, or some people are jealous, but it's surrounding yourself with positive people. But like I say, the people who also are going to be honest with you and keep you accountable as well, because you've got to learn from your failures, or you've got to learn from the negatives, which I truly believe is, it's true really. You can sort of take it one way or another, and if you take the negative advice or slightly critical advice and put a positive spin on it and use it as fuel and energy, then you can only build from it and get better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people as well, like I've noticed it, well, like in most areas of life, you get the slightest bit of criticism. Some people decide to take it personally rather than professionally. Because if you're doing a job and they're like, say, I know with journalism or something like that, say that article weren't particularly great, it's nothing personal against you. It's just your work itself wasn't great, but it can get better. They're not saying, oh yeah, completely stop. But even then, obviously when speaking with obviously people and stuff like that, getting opinions, obviously I'm quite a big strong advocate for take on as many opinions as possible and then make a decision yourself. If you make a mistake or if it doesn't go to plan, then you can look at all those opinions again, reevaluate, and at least if you've made that mistake yourself, you can't then go, well, you told me this, I've done this. When it's like, no, take some accountability, make your own mistakes, and then learn from those mistakes. Whereas one thing I've noticed with people that I've done, say, projects with, the minute you criticize them one way, they won't speak to you or in any respectful manner, because it's like they've taken it personally rather than professionally. If I'm doing it, it's because I want you to get better. And like say with myself, I go to the gym with my mates and I always say to them, the smallest little difference, say in respect of say gym, the slightest little bit of form will do a little thing, but it also do a lot. Same with anything. If you change that one little tiny thing, it can make such the difference, and then go that extra mile and you can possibly succeed. If you don't, then reevaluate and then go from there.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think, like you say, it's important to get lots of different advice from different people. We've all got our own skills and experiences, what we bring to the table, and but making your own informed decision based off that is important. But if you only hear one or two voices, then it's hard to, ascertain as much information to give you that informed decision as you can. So it's better to hear from different people with, like you say, different experiences, different backgrounds, different skill bases and knowledge. And then at least you've kind of, got as much information as you can, prepared yourself to think, you know what, I'll go down this avenue. And if it doesn't work, then at least it was my decision ultimately. But, rather than blame one particular person who's the only person whose view you got from it. So, yeah, like you say, a lot of people are quick to see the negatives. And see the negatives with feedback, but it helps you grow, it helps you develop. And I think if you don't get feedback from people, that's when we can become content. We can not want to push ourselves outside the comfort zones. And yeah, and I think when you get content, that's when people then overtake you, whether that's in your career, whether that's with a hobby, whether that's with a skill, you know, and yeah, you need to put in the hard work and the hard miles, whether that's, you know, like you alluded to in the gym, or whether that's in your personal or professional career as well. And like I said, and you know, I'll always hark back to this, is you only get out what you put in, and you know, if you put in the hard work, you will get rewarded.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, I think that will be pretty much everything covered that I need to. So,
Super.
thank you very much for coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another exhilarating episode of Inside the Press Box. I've been Jack O'Neill, and I've had the pleasure of guiding you through the exciting world of sports journalism alongside Josh Walters.
As we say goodbye to another thrilling episode, we invite you to join us again next week, when we will continue to provide you with more insightful information with more exciting guests.
Until then, keep your eyes on the game, ears to the speakers, and remember to stay curious inside the press box.